worship and will give a biblical answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 855-722-4253, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is David Harris, and I am the gospel preacher at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher at the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ there in Hamilton, Texas. We want to welcome you to the program. We've got a good program for you tonight. We also want to mention that Frank Briscoe is here running the boards for us and done a great job for us. And he is the gospel preacher at the Santo Church of Christ just north of here, just off of I-20, north of Stephenville, Texas. We are broadcasting from Studio 4 here in Stephenville, Texas. We're airing tonight on the KATX 97.7 FM station out of Eastland, the KNNK station 100.5 out of Hereford, Texas. Also, you can go to the gospelradionetwork.org, and you can click on or go to the harrisonmoore.org and click on the microphone there, and you can listen to us on the internet if you're out of range of these two stations. Now, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible says. There are many ways to contact us tonight. You can get on the telephone. This is a live call-in talk show. And you can call 1-855 and then spell out the QA Bible. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or if you get on our website, you can listen on the internet, and you can also talk to us or communicate through the chat box that is there. And you can express your opinion, you can comment, you can ask a question, and we will try to get that incorporated in our program tonight. You can also go to our emails, questions, plural, at harrisonmoore.org, and that will go to my email address and also Tom's email address. We have some additional sponsors that we'd like to mention tonight: the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas, and the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas. And we all we appreciate everything they do for us and their sponsorship here. We want to thank you for listening tonight. Tonight, I think we've got a special program for you. Not only are we going to finish up what is freedom all about, but also we are going to address some questions that were sent to us through the week. And one of the questions, or the entire concept of the questions, has to do with marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we know that this is a terrible problem in our society. A lot of people get into a lot of different things and really don't know what they're getting into until they've gotten into it, and it's a very difficult thing to get out of. But we will talk about what the Bible has to say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage from Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. And then we're going to have to talk also about a little bit of honesty, how a person is going to have to be honest with himself in order to be able to resolve any issue of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We will also address the question, does baptism wash away an unscriptural marriage? And what does it mean to be reconciled back to a husband and or a wife? We're going to try to get to all of that tonight, and I don't know how much that we can get to or get through, but we're going to run just as fast as we can. But we're going to start here with where we left off last week. Where is freedom, or what is freedom all about? And we mentioned last week, Tom, that freedom is not an unrestrained life. So then what is it? And we gave the definition of it. It is the ability to choose right and take responsibility and then enjoy the blessings of that choice. That's what freedom is all about. And there's really no other freedom out there, whether it be spiritual, physical, or political. And so that's where we started last week, and we read John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus said, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son therefore make you free," verse 36 says, "you shall be free indeed." And this is the kind of freedom that we're talking about. And Tom, we talked about several things last week, and we got down to the freedom of ignorance, but we first talked about what does freedom in Christ mean.
Right. And you know, David, for us to really begin to understand what true freedom is all about, we really need to look at Romans at chapter 6, which mm-hmm. really sets the stage for what we're going to be discussing tonight, the continuation of last week. But in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, it says, "But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine whereunto ye were delivered. And being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit then had ye at the time in the things whereof ye now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus."
What a marvelous passage of Scripture you have read to us there, Tom.
You know, David, there are so many people who really have a misconception of what freedom is all about. And as you talked some about earlier, people think that freedom is really free to do as you will. But in reality, that type of thinking really brings you into bondage. And as you mentioned, we're going to be looking at marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And also that same mentality also causes difficulty in the divorce and remarriage scenario, where they want to be free, and so they do things that really is not scriptural, and what they find themselves is they have brought themselves into bondage.
They bring themselves into another form of restraint.
Exactly.
When they're married, they assume that they are under a restraint, and they are under a responsibility, and they want to get out from under that responsibility, and what they find out is they get under another set of restraints over here because of sin mm-hmm. being involved in the situation.
And so many times, David, people allow the emotions of the moment mm-hmm. to dictate what they do, instead of going into the scriptures before they make those decisions and thinking they found freedom, they've actually found bondage.
Right.
And the bondage to sin. And in a situation where there's no easy answer on how to get out of this situation. But David, tonight we left off last week talking about various freedoms. We talked about that freedom in Christ provides freedom from the curse of materialism. Freedom in Christ provides freedom from ignorance is where we are tonight. David, when we talk about freedom from ignorance, what do we mean by that?
Well, John chapter 17 and verse 17, when Jesus was praying to the Father, he said, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." A failure to know the truth of God results in ignorance. Mm-hmm. And we're not using that word in a detrimental way. We're talking about a lack of knowledge of what God's will is all about. Mm-hmm. And this will cause one to be ignorant of the truth. And when one is ignorant of the truth, there's no end to the sinful situations that they can get themselves into and not even know that they're doing it at the time. But this is not going to be God's fault, because God put the word out there that we could know it. Now, if we reject the word, or if we refuse to read the word, then, you know, that's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said earlier in John chapter 12, verse 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And so we can't reject the word of Jesus without rejecting Jesus. And a lot of people don't know that. And that comes from ignorance.
Exactly right. And David, we don't have to be enslaved to ignorance. If you're in Christ, if you're willing to follow Christ, you know, mm-hmm. people talk a lot about Christ being their Lord. Well, if he's their Lord, they're going to abide by what he says.
Right.
Being in Christ, then, we can be free from ignorance if we realize what the Bible provides for us. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16 and 17, it says, "Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work." And so the Bible, God's Holy Scriptures, provides us all those things that we need so that we don't have to be enslaved to ignorance and then therefore make bad decisions on who we marry and divorce and godly living and things and materialism. We can have the knowledge to make the right decisions. That's what God's word provides for
right.
us.
Right. And in another place, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we're told, "According to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue."
Mm-hmm.
So everything we ever wanted to know about life and everything we ever wanted to know about godliness is given to us in the scriptures. And so all we've got to do is look and read and study our books, and we can show ourselves to be approved unto God in these areas. And God has provided everything for us to obtain an eternal life. But now if we reject or if we neglect the scriptures, we could get ourselves in all kinds of trouble and not even know it.
Exactly. And so God has given us truth, for therein lies freedom. The only true freedom that we're ever going to have is when we abide by the truth of God's word,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Well, there's one more passage I'd like to throw in here,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times we look at this passage for a different reason, but 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says,
yes.
"Study," or give diligence,
mm-hmm.
"study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, to show yourself approved unto God. There is approval mm-hmm. of God from knowing the will that he has revealed to us.
And then I like handling aright the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't have the sufficient knowledge of God's word, we don't know how to handle it.
Mm-mm.
That's why some people twist the scriptures to their own destruction, as Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3. And so we've got to have that knowledge. That's going to free us up from the bondage of sin that we're just about to talk about.
Right. And so knowing the truth is half of the battle. Abiding in the truth is the other half.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times people will know the truth, but they're not willing
mm-hmm.
to make the proper steps in implementing that truth in their lives. And that's sad, because that's really puts you into bondage.
Sure. And so that brings us to our next point in this lesson. In Christ Jesus, we have freedom from sin. And this is not something that we need to take lightly, because I know a lot of denominational teachings will teach that once you're free from sin, you'll never go into sin again. Mm-hmm. You know, it is the total impossibility of apostasy, and that is just not there. That is not part of the teaching of the Scriptures. And we could spend an awful lot of time on that, but that's not what we're after tonight. We just want to show you tonight that in Christ Jesus, you can be free from the bondage of sin.
Now remember, tonight this is a live call-in program. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. David, freedom in Christ provides us freedom from sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, it says, "But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart," that's key, "from the heart,
right,
to that form of doctrine whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness." That, David, when we think about this, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, shows us that a rescue from a life of sin is the fact that he is so thankful for. And that's something great to be thankful for, isn't it, David?
No doubt, because sin has devastating consequences. Isaiah tells us what sin will do to you. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, the Israelites had come to Isaiah, God's mouthpiece, the prophet at that particular time, and they wanted to know what was wrong with God. Had he lost his power? Had he gone deaf? What was the problem here? And in Isaiah chapter 59, have you got that pulled up? Why don't you read it to us there? In verses 1 and 2, it says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face that he will not hear you."
Exactly.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, King James. But, you know, but sin separates us from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about death, David. Death physically means separation from the soul, from the body.
Right.
Spiritual death is a separation from God. And so he says, you have been separated from God by your iniquities and your sins. And as a result of that, that shows what sin can do to us.
Right.
And that's why it's important for us to have freedom in Christ so that we can be free from sin and therefore be free from eternal death.
Well, and the second part of that passage there where he says, he will not hear you, that ought to scare everybody to death.
Exactly.
What you got there, Frank?
To continue to read just a little bit further there in Isaiah chapter 59, down to verse 14.
Uh-huh.
Isaiah said, "And justice is turned away backward, and righteousness standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street." Now, he's using an illustration that the people of that day would have been fully familiar with. When you have a little bit of wastewater left over, they just threw it in the street. It mm-hmm. was no longer of value to them. They no longer thought it had value, and that's what they had done with the truth.
Just thrown it out in the street with the wastewater. And that's very significant based upon what we're talking about here, because Jesus is the one that's saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You don't throw the truth away.
Yet that's what a lot of people have done in our
exactly.
world today with regard to many issues. They've thrown truth right out the window mm-hmm. into the streets because they're more interested in their own wants and wishes than they are in the wants and wishes of God. And so it's critical for us, it's vital for us to abide strictly by the Scriptures, and that's the only way freedom can be provided.
Well, Isaiah 59 also illustrates the point that if you choose to live in sin, if that's what you've chosen to do, to live in sin, then God is not even going to hear your prayers.
You know, Carol here on the chat box says, another consequence of sin she's talking about here is the lingering regret and memories of our sin. And even though we know the sin is forgiven, after our repentance, it's difficult to truly erase the memory of an act that can never be taken back.
And that's so true.
And that's another reason why we need to have this freedom from sin and realize, again, the consequences of it.
Right. And he says, your sins have separated between you and your God, and he will not hear your prayers. Mm-hmm. He won't hear you. Now, you get yourself so far in a wreck here that you're the only way you're going to get out of it is to repent and to turn your life back over to God and be submissive to his will instead of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're talking about here. When you're in Christ Jesus, you're being free from the bondage of not having the privilege of prayer. This is the way that we communicate with the creator of the universe through prayer. And he says our sins will fix it where we can't even do that.
You know, that's one of the things they do to prisoners, David, to punish them, put them in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a big effect on them because there is no contact with anyone. Can you imagine not having contact with the Almighty God? Well, sin disallows us from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to realize that separation from God is a horrible, horrible thing. You know, you think about the consequences of sin. In Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, "The wages of sin is death." That gets back to that separation,
mm-hmm.
because death is a separation, and we die spiritually. We're separated from him because of sin, but we're thankful that we don't have to be a part of that because of the freedom from sin we have in Christ Jesus.
Right. Well, then we get over here to the book of James. If we need more information about what sin will do to you, in verse number 13, James chapter 1, verse 13, and for all of those of you that are listening that have an opportunity, we encourage you to take your Bibles, because our motto is, you've heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. We try and do our best to correct error that is out there in the religious world. It's not because Tom is smarter or I'm smarter. We know what this Bible has to say, and the Bible has the answer. We don't. We can just point you to it. And that's what our job is here on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. We want to correct error with the truth coming out of God's Word.
You've heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say.
Well, now here's what the Holy Spirit through James has to say about sin. He says, "Let no man say," James chapter 1 and verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust." Now, Tom, this is the progress of sin right here. Here's mm-hmm. how it works. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. And let's not forget the very next verse. Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be deceived, is what he's saying. Don't be fooled by what the world has to say. Listen to what the scriptures have to say.
You know, when I look at this passage, Dave, for anybody who remembers the 60s and the use of LSD and how many lives it took, do you notice what he said here? Lust, sin, death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the LSD. That's what kills people. And we've got to realize that when we're involved in lust, it's going to lead to sin, and sin's going to lead to death. You might as well be taking LSD, because there is going to be destruction to your life. And that's why it's so important for us to understand that freedom in Christ provides us freedom from sin. We don't have to be a part of that spiritual death. And so, David, when we talk about this idea here of back in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, he talks about that form of doctrine, the form of doctrine that makes us free from sin and a slave to Christ. David, what is that doctrine that Paul's talking about there?
Well, the doctrine that he's talking about is a pattern of conformity to which we must adhere. It is a conformity. We conform to God's way of doing things, is basically what he's saying there. And he says, let me read the passage again in verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. And then he goes on to say, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You became free from sin because you obeyed that form of doctrine. Now, being free from sin is being free in Christ Jesus and his word. As we mentioned just a moment ago, you can't separate the two. You can't have Christ without the word, and you can't have the word without Christ. And so in Christ Jesus is where this freedom is going to be found here, and it is that form of doctrine which frees us.
We think about a form, David. I think about when you're going to form for a slab to make your house, you've got a form. There is a another word might be a pattern. And so here we have a pattern that we are to follow, and that pattern is the example of Jesus when he died for sin, when he was raised from the grave to die no more. And David, don't we in 1 Corinthians 15 have a perfect example of what this is really all about? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice there verses 1 through 4. It says, now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, by which you are also saved, if ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he had been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. David, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is the very foundation of all Christianity.
And this is the pattern that he's talking about. This is that form of doctrine. The pattern, the very pattern that he's talking about is the example of Jesus when he died for sin. You read about it right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then he was raised from the grave to die no more. And so in the same sense, the sinful one must die to sin, he must be buried by baptism, and then he must arise to walk in newness of life, in a new life.
Romans 1 in verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, that's what Paul says, because it is the power of God unto salvation.
Right.
And so we think about this form of doctrine, this form of teaching that was delivered to them, that was the gospel, and it is the gospel that makes them free from sin. Now think about that, David. You know, 1 John 3, verse 4 says sin is a transgression of what?
The law.
Of the law. And so anytime we transgress God's law, whether it be in some moral issue or some type of worship or our marriage, divorce, and remarriage, or, you know, just on and on and on. If we transgress what God says, then we are a servant of sin. If we do what the Bible says, then we're a servant of Christ, a servant of righteousness. And that's just how critical this is. Do we want to be free in Christ, or do we want to be a slave to sin?
Right. So when we look at that form of doctrine, we're talking about that pattern to which we must adhere, a pattern of conformity to which we must adhere. We're talking about the example of Jesus who died and was raised to walk in a new life. Now, if you'll look with me at Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, previous to this, the Holy Spirit through Paul would write, know ye not? And he begins that by saying, do you not know, as if everyone should know this already, that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And this is that pattern of conformity. This is that example that Jesus has given us. And this is what we do when we make the commitment to become a child of Christ, to become one who is buried in baptism and death with Christ, and we are in Christ at that point.
Exactly. Denny in the chat room says, in the compliance world, we have controlled forms. These are documents with numbers and dates and that must be followed with no exception. The technicians and divisions of the company around the world must follow the same form. When I audit, if they have not used the form, they have failed. In similar fashion, we have the gospel, which is a controlled form. It was given by God, and we must follow it, and we are not at liberty to change it.
Tremendous analogy. Great analogy.
And if we do change it, then we are then a slave to sin.
Well, it will be rejected.
Exactly.
Just like the audit would do. It would be rejected. And very, very good analogy, Denny. Thank you very much for that. Now, this is a live call-in talk show. We do have a toll-free number, and we would love to hear from you. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And if you are where you can get to your computer, you can also speak to us through the chat room, and we will try to address the comments or the questions that you have coming through the chat room at the same time. We're talking tonight about freedom and what it's all about. It's not just a freedom from restraint. It is a freedom that gives responsibility. It is a freedom to choose rightly and then enjoy the blessings of that choice. And when we make these choices, there are consequences to be had in each and every one of these choices. Now, we've been talking about what freedom is all about. It's not an unrestrained life. It is freedom from the curse of materialism. It is freedom from ignorance. It is freedom from sin, but only in Christ Jesus. And there's one more point that we want to make tonight, Tom, and that is freedom from our fear of death.
Exactly. Freedom in Christ provides us freedom from the fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look in your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and there in verse 54 that says, "But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." In verse 57 it says, "But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." David, death is swallowed up in victory. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is what freedom in Christ provides. Now, notice, David, you've already looked at the passage a moment ago in Romans chapter 6 about how we're baptized into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom in Christ. If we're in Christ, we're going to be doing things the way God says. And, you know, looking again to that analogy that Denny made in the chat room, if we're not willing to do what God says, then we're going to fear death. How many people, David, do everything humanly possible to stay alive? And they fret and worry because of death. But, you know, for the Christian, for those who have freedom in Christ, death is nothing to fear. Rather, it's really something to be welcomed. And we've got to realize the importance of that freedom we have, freedom from the fear of death. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." An encouraging passage when we think about death.
Well, and a person can only say something like that and be honest with himself if he is indeed free from the fear of death. And the only way that he can be free from the fear of death is know that when he dies, he's not going to be buried in the backyard like a dog, and his soul is going to be in a place where it's going to be eternally tormented. He knows that when he dies, he's going to have an opportunity to go to heaven to live with Jesus and all the saints in heaven. And that's a marvelous thing. So then a person can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Because God is not going to be with those individuals who are liars and fear and live a horribly immoral life that is not in Christ Jesus, and they're going to be recompensed with a reward. And the reward is going to be death, spiritual death.
Exactly. And so only in Christ is there freedom from the fear of death. Why? Because in Christ, having been obedient to the revealed will of Christ, we can have hope and assurance of life where the soul never dies. Now, David, we don't have to fear death because in Christ there's freedom. Again, David, remind us, how does one get into Christ where that freedom is found?
Well, we want to go back to the Bible again, because you've heard a lot of people in the world, you've heard what man has had to say about being in Christ. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say about being in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. If you're riding along in the highway, just write this scripture down, read it when you get to the house. And if you're reading, turn to this passage, please. He says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And then he tells us why. He says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." They have put on Christ. Now, this is a marvelous thing. We are in Christ Jesus when we have put Christ on in baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have not put Christ on in baptism, the true baptism of the Bible, the one baptism of the Bible, which is the baptism of the Great Commission, and it is for a reason, for the remission of our sins. If we have not been baptized into Christ, then we're not in Christ Jesus.
Exactly. And that's how, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, David, when we look at that in relation to being free from the fear of death, that only comes if we're following Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not in Christ, we're not following him. If we're not abiding by his will, we're not following him. Everything is subject to our being in Christ, where true freedom is found. Now, remember, tonight we've been talking about people thinking that they have freedom. They want to be free to do as they please, but that's not real freedom. That just brings you into bondage, into the bondage of sin, into the bondage of addiction. But only true freedom can be found in Christ. Well, we've talked about where we can be free from the curse of materialism, free from ignorance, free from sin, and free from the fear of death. I can think of no greater freedom than that one.
Free from the fear of death is be a great one. And you see, Tom, it's only in Christ Jesus that we're going to have this freedom of this fear.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that figuratively speaking, when we die this physical death, he's going to take our hand and walk with us across that great gulf into eternal life.
Exactly.
That's a figure of speech, of course.
Uh-huh.
But that is it. Life is not over when this physical body perishes. And as a matter of fact, there's a comment here from Bill on the chat box. He said, "Too many relate death with physical death and ignore the possibility of spiritual death." We don't die spiritually. I mean, we live on spiritually once our body dies. But then if we have done those things that are right and responsible and been obedient to the word and the will of God, then we're going to live on eternally with Christ Jesus. If not, we're going to face that second death that he talks about.
Exactly. So, David, tonight in conclusion with this thought, all who desire true and eternal freedom, they need to look to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
John 8, verse 36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed."
Amen.
That's freedom, isn't it?
That is freedom. That is freedom.
Well, you know, David, really everything we've talked about tonight really indirectly ties in to what we're going to be discussing the rest of the evening and next week also. And that is marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We have gotten some questions via email about the marriage, divorce, and remarriage scenario. And, David, it's very important to realize, and before we get into this, remember the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. David, it seems that this problem, the problem of divorce and remarriage, rears its ugly head on a very frequent basis. And, David, isn't it true that this is because the teaching of men is being set forth and not God's Word?
No doubt about it.
You know, and the one who contacted us originally about this was being told by a preacher, really, in fact, they were being told something that is not true to the Scriptures. This preacher was teaching things or telling things and informing these things that were contrary to what the Bible has to say. And as we get into this, David, we're going to learn what the Bible has to say. Whenever we do things contrary to what God's Word says, again, it makes us slaves to our situation,
right.
Slaves to sin.
Well, you know, there are a lot of preachers that would just as soon ignore this topic, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, mm-hmm. because it is a touchy topic, and it is a topic that affects a lot of people. And a lot of preachers will go through an entire lifetime of preaching and never even preach a sermon on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves, call themselves preachers for not doing it.
Exactly. You know, it wasn't too long ago, David, in Hamilton, there was a young lady who came into my office, and we were discussing this very issue, and I was telling her what the Bible says, and she was breaking up in tears, and she knew that she was wrong. But did she change? No. What she did was she went around town to find a preacher who would tell her something that would please her, and now that's where she's going to church.
Right.
She found someone who would tell her a lie, and I told her the truth, and she realized it so much so that she was in tears, but she was not willing to do what the Bible said. That's hard when you have children, when you're in a marriage situation. It's difficult sometimes to make the right decisions.
Well, I dare say that the most discussed issue in my office has to do with marriage, divorce, and remarriage.
Mm-hmm.
I have had more discussions about marriage, divorce, and remarriage than any other topic in my office. And it seems like there have only been one or two with an honest enough heart to do what is right, to get right with God, even after they got themselves in a pretty good difficult situation. And in that same area, I had a man come into my office and talk to me about this situation. And we read what the Scriptures had to say, and he said, "I know that's what that says, but I am not going to get out of my marriage."
Mm-hmm.
I know that's what that says, but I am not going. I know you said that, God, but I don't care. I'm going to stay where I am, come what may.
You know, we had that happen in a similar fashion not too long ago on the radio, didn't we, David?
Yeah.
Where a lady by the name of Charlotte called in, asked the question. We gave her a Bible answer. She says, "Well, I know what the Bible says on that, but I just don't believe it."
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we going to believe what the Bible says or not? And are we going to be honest enough with ourselves to really believe what the Bible has to say and evaluate ourselves honestly? That's something really hard. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But it's hard to be honest with yourself and be honest with the Scriptures when you find yourself in a situation that you really don't want to get out of.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, dealing with what you were talking about just a moment ago, Tom, made the statement, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust."
Mm-hmm.
The one you were talking about, wouldn't listen to the truth, but they would find someone that would say what they wanted to hear.
You know, and then also in conjunction with that, David, there are some who are really looking for an answer. They go to somebody they think that has some wisdom in this area, and they give them an answer that's an incorrect one, and they find themselves in a situation because they've been told incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to be like those Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11, don't we? Where they searched the scriptures daily to make sure what they were being taught were so. Now, in that context, those Bereans were checking out the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Now, if you check out the Apostle Paul, wouldn't you check out Tom Moore or David Harris or anyone else who's preaching the gospel? You need to go to the scripture. Don't just take someone's word for it. What does the Bible say? You've heard what men have said. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say.
That is absolutely correct. There's a passage that I'd like to bring up right now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about people that are looking for a lie. And the Holy Spirit says this about them. It says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's a very, very hard passage of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, if we love a lie enough to walk away from the truth and try to find somebody that would lie to us, that would make us feel mm-hmm. better, that's exactly what the application of that passage means there.
Exactly.
And we're going to have a lot of people that do this.
So one of the most harmful things a preacher can do is to misinterpret God's word on any issue, but especially the one we're talking about tonight and we'll be talking about next week, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, because it involves God, wife, husband, children, the two sets of parents, our American society. Our world is in great difficulty because of this issue. The mm-hmm. Lord's church is having all kinds of trouble because of this issue. And the one who emailed us earlier about this is that even the congregation where she attends, there are many in the congregation who are also involved in this very thing. Now, we're going to be talking a lot about that next week and also some tonight. But again, it's so vital for us to have an open mind to what the Bible has to say, to put away our preconceived ideas, to put away our emotions, and to look honestly and clearly at what the Bible says.
Now, we'll address more about what the Bible has to say about attending congregations that don't teach the truth. We'll deal with that later. But right now, with the limited time that we have, what we want to do is set the stage for what we're about to talk about here. And if you will take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 19, what we want to see here is what Jesus had to say about this very situation. And Tom, I like to start with verse 1.
All right.
Because verse 1 tells us kind of a little background here. It said, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee, and he came to the coast of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Now, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people followed him there. Now, I don't know how many people were in a bad situation, but it said he healed them there. Those people had a good and honest heart. They were being healed spiritually. They're being healed physically. Then the Pharisees also, they came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and he said unto them, have you not read? Now, that is very important that we notice there, Tom, that he is pointing them back to the scriptures. Have you not read? And so he says, have you not read that he, God, which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now there you have your marriage situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the scriptures. He says, have you not read? He's pointing them all the way back to the institution of marriage that God established in Genesis chapter 2.
Exactly.
And it never did change from there.
You know, and this has always been God's plan. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. But God gave one exception, and only one exception, to that law of marriage that was instituted in the very beginning. And that's found in Matthew 19 and verse 9. He says, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. But he that marrieth her when she is put away committeth adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, that is just an objective statement that says there's only one reason for divorce, and that is fornication.
One and only one reason for divorce.
And so if a person divorces for any other reason, then they are not a candidate for remarriage.
No, it is an unscriptural divorce.
And only the innocent party is then able to remarry. Now, that's a very hard, difficult situation for so many people in this world today. And yet, you still have to abide by what God says. For example, you know, I'm teaching a young adult class in Hamilton right now, and I keep emphasizing with them the difference between the now and eternity. You know, I talk about, you know, when you think about now, we're thinking about something an inch long. When you think about eternity, you're thinking about endless number. And yet so often we live our lives and focus on that short period of time, this life, when in reality we ought to be thinking about eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to spend your life here on this earth as you want to and miss eternity? Or are you going to be willing to do what God says here on this earth and live with the Lord for eternity? Yeah, but I just can't live without a husband. I can't live without a wife. Well, would you rather do that and miss heaven, or do what the Lord says for that short time in this earth and then live eternity? See, we don't look past the here and now and look to eternity when we think about difficult passages like this. You know, I think, David, also when we think about this, it's important for us, and I know you and I do this and Frank does, that when young people are getting married, we need to really emphasize with them the importance of marriage and how that, you know, you're married for life. And that's it. You're going to have to get along. You're going to have to take care of business, and because God expects you to be married forever.
Well, that's true. You know, this is something that even the Pharisees were willing to argue with Jesus. If you will back up there to verse number 7, after he says, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder, they want to argue against that. And they say, well, now, they say, why did Moses then command them to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you or allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And let me remind you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. And right here, Moses gave an easement for divorce in the Old Testament. But Jesus is taking away the easement. There is no easement anymore.
And I, or but I say unto you.
Absolutely. You know, I with all the power, all of the authority. I say, it's not anything to do with what happened previously. Mm-hmm. It's from here on, I say. And then you read the exclusion. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoso marries her which is put away does commit adultery. And here he has all of the authority. He's taken away the easement that Moses gave that allowed them to put away their wife in the Old Testament. That no longer applies here.
Mm-hmm.
And it never, ever will again. From the beginning, it wasn't so. It was Moses that gave the easement.
So the same Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved,"
mm-hmm.
also said, "Whosoever shall put away of his wife except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and he that marrieth her when she is put away committeth adultery,"
mm-hmm.
except for fornication.
Right.
"If a man or a woman leaves or puts away the spouse for any other reason than fornication," David, "it is an unscriptural divorce."
Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God has said. It's not what you think, I think. You know, if I had written it, I might not have written it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus put so much teeth. This is one of the hardest commandments in the entire Bible, I think, Tom, because there's so the teeth are put in to this one because God does not want to see it happen. Because it is so devastating to so many people. It affects so many people in life, in the church, in the family. It affects so many people. It is devastating to children. And God does not want to see it happen. And for this reason, he puts teeth in this law. It's got more teeth in it than any law that you'll ever find anywhere.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Denny on the chat box says, "Sadly, I know a congregation that has taken a stand on this in the last few months and has lost some people over it and has been rejected as unloving by some area congregations. Those who left found it easier to find congregations to accept them. The problem is real love is telling them the truth about their souls." You know, and that's right, David. That's what real love is, telling people the truth, even though it may hurt. "And regardless of what the congregation says, God does not accept them." David, this is, and as you mentioned, probably the most difficult issue for us to deal with because so many lives have been affected by it. And that's why it's important for us to take close consideration of what God's Word has to say before we begin to make decisions on things. We jump into things and do things before we think about the consequences, and as a result, we find ourselves in a terrible and horrible situation that it seems that there's no way out except hurting other people. But
right.
We have to do what God says, no matter what.
Well, we have laid the groundwork for next week's lesson. I don't know how far we're going to get through here, but we're going to get through the exception clause. We're going to get through several other things. There's a message on the chat box here says, "This is the very reason that many preachers refuse to preach about the problem of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, because people will leave." But I want to take it a step further. This is a problem that we have with elders that won't demand that preachers preach about it.
Exactly right.
You know, preachers may be spineless, but elders should not be. And the elders should have the spine enough to tell the preachers, "You either preach about this or get lost."
Exactly
one of
right.
the two.
Got 1 minute.
Okay, I'll sign off very quickly and let you have the last word. We want to thank you for listening to us on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Tune in next Monday. We're going to continue in the same line of thinking. And God bless you as you read your Bibles.
Remember that we love everyone in the audience, and we want to speak only what the Bible has to say. Listen in next week as we discuss more about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common one holding us to the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any question or comment. 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions at harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station.
Mom!